Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of Sovereign Grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me this morning to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 will be our text. And we'll begin by reading this text. It says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Certainty. Luke is writing to Theophilus. And Theophilus means friend of God. The friend of God. That's who this is to. The friend of God. And verse 1 says, "For as much as many have taken in hand." Taken in hand. This declaration. I am so thankful that God called men to take this declaration in hand. Our Lord said that it is through the preaching of this gospel, this declaration, that He has chosen to save men's souls. And God in mercy called a man and gave him the message, and he sat me down and he opened my ears, sent his spirit to my heart, and he had mercy on my soul. I am so thankful for the many that have taken this in hand. There were men like Charles Spurgeon. He took it in hand. John Calvin, Martin Luther, he said, "Here I stand, I can do no other." I thank the Lord God for that. I truly do. The martyrs who died, men like Thomas Cranmer and William Tyndale and Hugh Latimer, these men were burned at the stake. Burned at the stake. For taking the original Hebrew and Greek scriptures and translating them into English. Oh, I thank God that He called those men to take it in hand. They were burned at the stake. That's hard to imagine. Hard to imagine for taking this in hand. The apostles, Paul, Peter, James, John, these men took it in hand. Took it in hand. By the gift of God, placing it in their hand. Calling them to it. The prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they took it in hand. King David, King Solomon, they took it in hand. Aren't we so grateful? Moses, he took it in hand. Verse 1 says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration." A declaration. This gospel that we preach is a declaration. It's a declaration. It is not an opinion. It is not an option. It is not a suggestion. It's a declaration. This is not an argument. It's a declaration. If men believe it, then God has given them a heart to believe it. God's done a work in them. And if God doesn't give them a heart to believe it, then men and women just can't believe. The Scripture says they're dead in their trespasses and sins, and they cannot hear. They don't have ears to hear. They don't have a heart to believe. Believing is salvation, and salvation is of the Lord. This is a declaration. Verse 1 goes on to say, of those things which are most surely believed among us. Most surely believed. Now, what is this declaration? What did these many, many men declare? What did Moses declare? We're talking about a declaration that is most surely believed. What is it? What did Moses declare? Well, turn with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. Verse 1 says, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel. Verse 5 says, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law. He declared a law, saying, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. This is God's commandment. Moses declared, obey the Lord your God. Look at verse 20. He said, and I say unto you, you are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. What Moses is declaring is, obey the Lord your God. Verse 26 says, notwithstanding, ye would not go up. Isn't that something? That's man by nature. Clearly sees God's word, God's commandment. Moses said in verse 26, notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Now look at verse 32. Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth, and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. He said, you rebelled. You did not believe me. He said, this is an evil generation. How horrible. Oh, how horrible. Verse 40 says, but as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then you answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when you had girded on every man his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I'm not among you. lest you be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites which dwelt in the mountain came out against you, and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible? What did Moses declare? He declared God's law. He declared God's commandment, God's word. Moses declared the fact that we've sinned. We've sinned against the Lord our God. And now because of this, we are separated from Him. That's an awful thought, but that is the truth declared. By nature, in our natural flesh, He is not among us. Isn't that shocking? Most men, most preachers actually say the opposite. But who are we going to believe? Man or God? Who are we to believe? Moses declared by nature, there is no hope. There is no help. God said, don't go up to fight. I'm not with you. Moses declared God's wrath. And that's what many have taken in hand to set forth. In order. In order. The first order of business is a declaration of God's broken law and the repercussions of it. It's a horrible thought, but it's the truth. Why do we keep bringing it up? Because it must be declared. It must be declared. But listen to this. Listen to this. Thanks be to God. The declaration continues. Thanks be to God. It doesn't stop there. Let's see what David declared. Turn with me over to 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 1 says, so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Now look at verse 7. It says, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Verse 24 says, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. What did David declare? God's glory. He declared it among the heathen. That's good news. The same rebellious, unbelieving, evil heathen that Moses declared unto. Moses asked the Lord, show me your glory. And God said, okay, here it is. I will have mercy. I will have mercy. How many times did David declare, God will have mercy? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that fantastic? After the horrible news of the state we're really in, what better news could we possibly hear? God will have mercy. Turn with me over to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Listen to David. In verse 16, he says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. How wonderful is that? David said he had mercy on me. Mercy. Psalm 68, verse 2 says, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. He hasn't had mercy on everybody. He has not had mercy on everybody. Some he's going to drive away. But David said he had mercy on me. He might have mercy on you. He might have mercy on me. The Lord God is angry with the wicked every day, but God will have mercy. God will have mercy. That's what many have taken in hand to set forth in order. Man has sinned against God, but God will have mercy. There is a way. One way mercy can be found. So Solomon declared, be wise. Be wise, listen up. Consider thy latter end. You know, this world considers retirement heavily. Heavily. This world considers what college degree they need for a better latter end. That's not the latter end Solomon is talking about. Not at all. Turn with me over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 1 says, for all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean. To him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, here's this one event he keeps talking about. He said, after that, they go to the dead. They go to the dead. He said, I don't care what kind of life they lived. I don't care what kind of person they are. There's one event that's coming to everybody. All men and women are going to die. That's a truth that must be acknowledged. Every man and woman is going to face this holy God. It's not up for debate. It's a declaration. Man has broken God's law, but God will have mercy. Be wise. Consider something. What is it? Let's consider what the prophets declared. Let's consider with all our hope, with all our might, what the prophets declared. Turn with me over to Isaiah 42. Isaiah chapter 42, look at verse 9. He said, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Verse 12 says, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. That is something worth declaring. Somebody is coming. He's a man of war. And he will not lose the battle. man has sinned, but God will have mercy because somebody's coming. Somebody is coming. Turn with me over to Isaiah 53. This blessed chapter, Isaiah 53, verse 5 tells us what this one who is coming is going to do. Man is in a bad state. Man has sinned before God outside of this one who is coming, Jesus Christ. Man has no hope, but listen to what Christ did for the salvation of His people. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, He was wounded for our transgressions. That means in our place, in our stead. It says, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. What we deserved was laid on Him. The punishment I deserved was given to Him. And verse 5 ends by saying, And with His stripes we are healed. That is the gospel. The gospel is about one man, Jesus Christ. It's about who He is and what He's done. That's what the gospel is. Look at Isaiah 53 verse 8. It says, He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. Oh, that is something worth declaring. That is what we declare. So many, by God's goodness and mercy and grace, have taken in hand to declare that. For the transgression of that heathen that Moses was talking about was He stricken. That's the mercy that David declared. That's that mercy. Somebody's coming. Thanks be to God. Somebody came. Somebody came. Jeremiah declared it. And in his declaration, Jeremiah declared a warning. Somebody's coming. Behold, somebody's coming. Turn with me over to Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 5 says, Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, Blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together, and say, Assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defensed cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. A great destruction. The prophets were declaring, somebody's coming. And I must declare this morning, somebody's coming. He came, He went, He's coming again. He's coming to redeem His elect. And He's coming to destroy this sinful world. That is the declaration that must be made known. Here's the question. Is there any shelter? Is there any place of safety? Is there any place of refuge? Is there a hiding place? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Go with me to Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 22 says, Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Who is it? Who is the unknown God? Verse 24 says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repent and be ye saved. Repentance is the gift of God. You know that? Except God calls a man to repent, he can't. I need to bow the knee to the only true God of heaven and earth. That's what I need. Verse 31 says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Paul said, that one who was raised from the dead, that's who I'm going to declare unto you. Solomon declared, all men are going to be judged by this man. And Paul declares, some are going to get to be judged in this man. In this man. All who can say, he is my maker, he is my defender, he is my redeemer, he's my friend. That is the declaration. That is the declaration. This one who came, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, very God himself, this one who came has redeemed his people from their sin. Now, why did all these declare this? Why did so many declare this? And why do we still declare it? Why do we spend our time making this declaration? Turn with me to John 1, verse 1. 1 John 1, 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that He's called men to take it in hand and deliver the declaration. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless His Word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message, or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.